Well, I have some good news this morning. This world is going to become a better place, a kinder and gentler place. Not in the near future, at least not in the next 7 years, but it's going to be a wonderful place. And some of you know what I am referring to, namely, the kingdom of God is going to be established here on earth. The millennium, we referred so much to the new millennium, was it last January or the one before? But the millennium the Bible speaks of is the kingdom of the Messiah, our Savior, here on earth. And so this morning, I'd like to share a few thoughts about that kingdom. By the way, it is mentioned by all the prophets from Isaiah to Malachi, this coming kingdom on earth, with the exception of one prophet, and that was Jonah. And yet Jonah was not only a type or picture of our Lord in his death and resurrection, but a type of Israel. In other words, just as Jonah was disobedient to his calling, cast into the sea, preserved in a remarkable manner, and then upon repentance, a blessing to the people at Nineveh or the Gentiles. So Israel was disobedient to its calling, cast into the seas or among the nations, preserved in a most remarkable manner, and upon repentance in a coming day, Israel will be a blessing to all the nation. Now, there's so much in the scripture concerning this, but we'll look at a few verses. First of all, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, where it says concerning the Messiah, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, that they may beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And chapter 11 of Isaiah. It says in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling feed together, and a little child shall lead them. And then it says in verse 9, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. And then Isaiah chapter 35 says in verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. And it says in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and so forth. Then we could pass over some other verses in Isaiah, but read in Romans chapter 8 a few verses. In chapter 65 of Isaiah, it refers to this coming kingdom when men will once again live to a ripe old age like they did before the flood. Chapter 8 of Romans and verse 21. Pardon me, I'm having trouble with my eyesight these days, and it's even got to the point where it's hard to read my Bible. Because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of redemption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. In verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, within ourselves, waiting for the development, to wit, the redemption of the body. And then finally, Revelation chapter 20, which is preceded by the Hallelujah chapter, chapter 19. The only time that word Hallelujah occurs in the New Testament is four times here in chapter 19, and it's in the Greek form, Hallelujah. Notice what it says at the end of verse 6 in chapter 19. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And in verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then chapter 20, where we have that expression, 1,000 years, mentioned six times. Notice in verse 2, concerning an angel, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And at the end of verse 4, it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the expression is there six times altogether. Now, the marks of this kingdom. But before we consider that, what's going to happen first? Well, we know that during the past 2,000 years almost, God has been taking out a people for heaven through the proclamation of the gospel, the church, the called out company. As in our next service, we'll point out where we are in relation to time. But I believe with all my heart, we are in the last days of the church's testimony on earth. One of these days, we're going to hear the shout, the trump of the Lord, and we're going to be taken out. The dead in Christ shall rise. Their corruptible bodies shall put on incorruption. And we which are alive and remain, we won't have to die and be raised. Our mortal bodies shall put on immortality, will be changed in a moment. And by the way, there's no souls in cemeteries. Cemetery means sleeping place, and it's the sleeping place for the body of the believer. It's been hushed to sleep. But it's a metaphor. Just as sleep has its waking moment, so death has its resurrection. So that is the first thing on God's program. We'll be taken out to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you think of that? Can there be anything more blessed than this? Together forever with the Lord. Together forever with the Lord. Nothing could be better than that. And it's going to happen any day. The coming of the Lord is not immediate. The scripture doesn't teach that. But it's imminent. Could take place at any time. And knowing the conditions in the world today, looking at the signs of the times, we believe it's going to be soon. Now, after the rapture, the time of the end, or Daniel's 70th week. And it's going to be a time of violence, deception, demonic activity, the rise of the Antichrist, the beast, yea, the mark of the beast. And during the latter 3.5 years of that 7-year period, the Jews will be hated and hounded across the earth. It will indeed be a time of Jacob's trouble, or the time of great tribulation. But the Lord will come from heaven and deliver Israel, judge the world, and then set up his glorious kingdom on earth. And it is going to be a beautiful place, this world. It's going to be a transformed place, a place of peace, a place of plenty. It's going to be a joyful and wonderful place to be. And we'll point out at the end what we'll be doing. I close at what time? Quarter to 10 to 11? 15 minutes to 11. Thank you very much. I can hardly see that clock back there, but I have a watch on. And the children at these Bible camps like me. Do you know why they like me? I never go overtime. And I don't want to do it here. What are the characteristics or marks of this coming kingdom? By the way, this fits in what I'll be speaking about in the next 11 o'clock hour, namely the sixfold miracle of modern Israel. What are the characteristics of this kingdom? First of all, it's going to be a peaceful place. The nations are going to learn war no more. I read about 10 years ago that in 5,600 years of recorded history, there have been about 14,500 wars. What a sad commentary on the human heart. Who could possibly estimate all the devastation, the death, the suffering, and the sorrow that war has brought? I remember being over in Normandy with the 82nd Airborne Division back in 1944, and I learned firsthand that war is a horrible thing. I remember a German soldier was needlessly killed, and I looked into his soldier book to see what information could be gained about his unit, and in that book was a picture of that soldier, his wife, and children. Enough to break your heart. But that afternoon, we were pulled back, and we had our first mail call in Normandy. And there was a telegram for Lieutenant Williams. He was the proud father of twin boys. The problem was he had been killed that morning. War is a terrible thing, but it is sometimes a very necessary thing. Because if men didn't defend their country, if we didn't defend our rights and our freedom, this world would be ruled by tyrants and freedom would perish from the face of the earth. So we should thank God for those who have even died that we might be free here in America. I gave my testimony here 2 or 3 years ago. I think I mentioned the 4th of July, 1944. We had 56 men left out of 130. But by the end of the 4th of July, there were only 15. The others had been killed or wounded. So we thank God that someday, when the Lord establishes his kingdom, nations or men shall beat their swords into, their spears into swords, or their swords into whatever, spears into pruning hooks. Thank God there'll be no war, there'll be no violence, there'll be no great crime as we have it today. It's going to be a peaceful place. And then secondly, it's going to be a place of prosperity, excuse me, or a place of plenty. When I say prosperous, I don't mean that everybody on earth is going to be a millionaire, but there'll be no more poverty as the world has known it for the last 1,000 or 2,000 years or so. I remember living in Chicago during the Great Depression. Some of you didn't know I was that old, but anyway, I used to see children go behind stores into the garbage cans looking for something to eat. I remember being in Belgium at the end of the war, and a friend of mine wanted me to go with him on the truck to dump out some garbage cans. We went into the country onto a hillside, and there we dumped the garbage cans, and there were scores of people waiting for their supper. And then you have seen children in pictures, perhaps, with their distended stomachs, their ribs sticking out, flies, starving to death. And there have been so many famines in Africa and India and so forth. But thank God, when our Lord sets up his kingdom, poverty will be a thing of the past. Every man will be under his own fig tree, as it were. It's going to be a plentiful earth producing the most beautiful fruits and vegetables that have ever been. Well, maybe they were better in the beginning, in Adam's day. But when you enjoy fruit today, think of the coming millennium when the desert is going to blossom as a rose and this earth is going to have the curse removed, and what a beautiful, fruitful place it will be. So there will be plenty in the millennium. That doesn't mean that every man will have a couple of automobiles and an airplane and a yacht and so forth. In fact, I've often wondered if there are going to be airplanes and cars during the millennium. It's going to be a different place. And that brings us to our next point. It's going to be a transformed earth. It's going to be restored to its original beauty. Creation, as you know, is under the curse. We read there in Romans the bondage of corruption. But the Lord Jesus redeemed not only our souls, not only our bodies, not only the animal kingdom, but creation itself when he died at Calvary. And so when he comes to set up his kingdom, that bondage of corruption will be removed and the earth will blossom as the rose, transformed into the most beautiful place you could possibly imagine in this world. It'll be restored to its original beauty. So it's going to be a transformed world. And then the animal kingdom is going to be transformed as well. Before the flood, animals seem to have been tame. They were tame, at least in Adam's day. We read in Genesis 6 about the corruption that grieved the Lord on the part of man and beast. Maybe beast, instead of being vegetarians, as God intended, were attacking one another. We don't know. But the animal kingdom was wiped out apart from those two-by-twos on the flood, on the ark. And from that beginning, animals have spread over the earth. But as we read in Genesis chapter 10, the fear of man is on the beast. The animal has a fear of man, because men were no longer to be vegetarians, but to eat meat. And so there's not only the fear of man, but there is a battle between one another. You never see a wolf today lay down with a lamb, will you? You'll never see a child walking down a street with a pet leopard. You'll probably see that in the millennium, because animal kingdom itself is going to be freed from the curse, and instead of beast ferocity, there will be docility. They will dwell together. So there's going to be a change in the animal kingdom. And then there's going to be a change in the human kingdom as well. The curse is going to be lifted, and perhaps the climatic conditions will be different. But you remember, before the flood, men lived a long time. What did Noah live? 950 years, Adam 930, and the one who lived the longest, I guess that was 830 and 850, was it 969 or 869? Anyone know? I think it's 969. But anyway, Methuselah lived longer than anyone else. It shows his name meant at his death it shall be sent. When he died, the door of the ark would be shut and the great flood would begin. And God extended his life all those years because he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, willing that men repent. And so that longevity that men knew before the flood, you notice right after the flood, what was it, Moses, 120 years and so forth. Abraham may have lived a little longer, but it got down to 70. It's getting up a little higher than that now. But during the millennium, this longevity will be restored because there will be a different earth. Not only the earth itself, but the climate, the geography, all is going to be different. And disease is going to be controlled. There'll be no more Alzheimer's, no more cancer, no more Parkinson's disease. All these things that beset the human race today are going to disappear. And the Lord is going to reign over the earth. And as we read there in Isaiah, the ears of the deaf will be opened and the blind shall see again. So no doubt with the aid of Israel and perhaps even the church, the earth is going to know better health. Hospitals will be difficult to find. There won't be as many doctors and nurses because the human race is going to be transformed along with the earth. Then there will not only be peace, not only plenty, not only a changed earth and changed kingdom, but a changed morality in the world. The devil, as we read, will be put in the bottomless pit, and he will not be here to deceive people, and he will not be here to tempt people to sin against God. That doesn't mean that people living on the earth will be perfect. There will be people coming out of the great tribulation along with the nation Israel, Gentile peoples, who will populate the earth. Every day thousands will be born. All will have that evil nature, and it will be necessary to be born again. But with the Lord reigning at Jerusalem and his princes helping him, righteousness is going to reign on the earth. That not only means no more war, no more violence, no more revolutions. It means no more murder as we have it today, no more rape. Anything like this will be subdued or stopped immediately. There'll be no gangs like the mafia. There'll be no drugs. There'll be no evolutionists on the earth who will say there's no God. And there'll be no American Civil Liberties Union here in America saying that children can't say God and so forth. In fact, it's going to be a place where people will be praising the Lord and hailing his name. Immorality is going to be checked. And not all this wickedness that we read of today is not going to be here on earth during the millennium. Men will still sin. Men will still have to be redeemed. And at the end of this millennial age, when the devil is loosed up out of the pit, believe it or not, in spite of peace and prosperity on earth, men will once again believe his lie and rebel against God. I believe Revelation chapter 20 tells us of that time when Gog and Magog will attack Israel. And that very well could be after the millennium, when Israel is dwelling in peace and the devil is loosed from the pit. He will instill that spirit of anti-Semitism in the hearts and the nations of men, and they will attack Israel, and then perhaps Ezekiel 38 and 39 will be fulfilled. You remember there it tells of nations coming upon Israel to attack it. When will that be? It hasn't happened yet. Some think it may happen during the seven-year period. Personally, I think it'll happen after the kingdom is over, and men will have no more weapons and will revert to bows and arrows and chariots and so forth. Well, we'll see about that. But anyway, wickedness is going to be restrained during the millennium age. And then finally, the church is going to reign with Christ. Israel will be at the head of the nations and a blessing to all. And just exactly what our responsibilities will be, I do not know. But if we reign, if we suffer him with him, our Lord, we shall reign. And perhaps some even here will have places to reign over. We don't know. But the church is going to rejoice at the glory that will be his as he'll be hailed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You ever go to a Bible conference? Everybody's singing. Everybody seems to be happy. The children are praising God. The adults are talking about him. It's quite different from being out in the world. Well, that's what it's going to be like during the millennium. People are going to be talking about the Lord, singing about him, and in Jerusalem, the children we read in Isaiah's gospel prophecy are going to be singing and praising the Lord. Back in 1959, I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, worked among the Navajo Indians. One Sunday I was preaching at a chapel in Albuquerque, and we had a man down in the third row who had been saved by the grace of God. And he was just as happy as could be, and he used to always say, "Amen, hallelujah." He was very excited about being saved. Well, he had a restaurant right on the main street of Albuquerque. And with his salvation, he changed his restaurant. He put gospel texts on the walls. He put tracts on the tables. He even changed the jukebox. You know what that was? You put in a dime or a quarter and you'd get your music. Well, he had all the records changed to Christian music. And it was quite a lovely atmosphere to enjoy your lunch. But he came to me one day and he says, "Brother Fred, I'm having to go out of business. I'm bankrupt." And he says, "Brother Fred, I don't understand it." And I says, "Well, I think I know what was wrong. You opened too soon a business like that. You should have waited until the millennium." In other words, in that coming day, people will be honoring the Lord, but today he is still despised and rejected. And most people don't have an appetite for the things of the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes again, it'll be different.